Hello. Yesterday we mentioned that there are four different cases which the Gemara says to explain Hatzala Shavu Shabbat. The Mishnah, which added on other Mazikim, could be shayach in four different cases. We worked a lot on Abaye, and we said a whole machlokes whether la halacha we paskin like Abaye by Avnei Sakinim Asoy, which he put on the Gag. That was the first case. The second case is Rova. Rova says that the case of Tzara Shova Shebehen is where a man puts, let's say, a rock or something in the Rishus HaRavim, and then someone else comes along and pushes it a block away. So the Gemara says, for that, you also need a Tzara Shova. It's not Mamish Bor, because he put it down on 14th Avenue. It didn't damage till 15th Avenue. So from Bor itself, we couldn't learn it out completely. So the Gemara says, you have to learn it out from Bor and Shor. But by Shor also, the man walks with his animal. The animal goes a block away and damages. So from Bor and Shor, we learn out to be Machai. That's the second case. There was a big tachshish yesterday. What would be if while the thing was moving from 14th Avenue to 15th Avenue, somebody pushed it, who would be chayav? On that, I'll just speak out b'kitzer, one interesting pshat. Rashi says that if somebody, Tosfos speaks out clearly, that if it damaged while it was being pushed from one place to the other, so Tosfos says, then the owner of the suitcase would be chayav als Eish, not Alf Bor. Why? Because since he knew that people naturally wouldn't see it and they would push it, so it comes out that if it damaged while it was going, being pushed even by a person, the person himself who pushed it is putter, like Tosfos says, because people don't watch where they're going. It's not their fault. And the person who owned the suitcase, who owned the rock, would be chayav als Eish. The Maram speaks out on this Tosfos, just Kedai B'Kitzer, the Maram speaks out that Rashi argues on this. And Rashi would hold, Rashi took out the whole girsa of damaging while it was in motion. See, Tosfos has that girsa. So, the Maram explains, Rashi didn't want to have that girsa, because according to Rashi, he would still be potter. Again, the man put something down in the Rishus HaRabim, and then Reuven put down something in the Rishus HaRabim. Shimon, as he was walking, he knocked into it, and he rolled it, and it smashed something. So Tosfos says, Reuven, who put it down, would be chayiv, because Reuven should have known that Shimon is going to push it. So Shimon is part of it because he didn't see it at all. But Reuven is chayiv because Reuven should, it's like Eish, a man puts something which he knows the wind could take and damage. The Maram says that according to Rashi, Rashi didn't want to be gerus this girsa, because Rashi held till Takavi Potter. Rashi says an interesting thought, rather, that a man, the fact that Shimon was walking by is not called a Ruach Mitzuya. Ruach Mitzuya is only a wind. It's only a wind, a natural cause in a Shemayim that creates, that takes a fire or that takes a suitcase off. That's called Eish. Eish, in order for it to be Chayav at Eish, it has to have Ruach, it has to have a natural cause. But the fact that he knew that another person would kick his object, is not called a Ruach. That's not a Ruach Mitzuya that can make a Chiyuv of Eish. So that's why Rashi left out that whole idea of the suitcase damaging while it was going.
There's a tariff for Rashi, saying what Rashi means. It's not for that.
That's the Chiddush. That's what I'm pointing out the Maram. Poshut you learn because it's Eish, not other Mamazik, right? But the Maram says, so why didn't Rashi be Gurus Mazda Eishu?
Right.
Ibad? There he says, because the Rashi held was not Chayav al Zeish. So I'm showing you Maram.
That
whole thing. The Maram Bavorin is what you're saying. So since Rashi was not Gurus while it was moving its Eish, because Rashi held there would not be a Chayav Eish, and the logic is, Eish is only Chayav when a natural wind carries it. But here, in this case here, we're dealing that a human being or an animal knocked it along. That's not called Ruach Mitzvah.
What does the Maram hold on that?
Maram just speaks out Rashi Shita. that Rashi would argue on Tosfos. Tosfos says that the owner would be chayev for the Eish, because a human being, because he should have realized that someone's going to come along and kick his, once he puts something down, that it could be hit. So the human being is actually acting like wind. What's the difference if wind carries a fire from one place to the other? Or if a man takes something from one place to the other? I'm just showing you, we have a machlokes, according to the Maram, between Tosfos and Rashi, whether this case of a human being taking something unconscious, like just casually kicking something, does that make it into Eish or not? Okay.
No.
Good, no, but it still be chayav als Eish, no? Okay. Alright. The question is, will there be a chayav Eish over here? That was just a small point in that second case of Bar Mizgadol. The main point of the shiur today is the third case. This way you know you have a little to work on in each of the four cases. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll work on the last case. Alright, Ravada Barahava comes along with a new case, which is a type of a mazik, which is not completely bor, and therefore you have to make a tzara shove, you have to bring in shor also. What's that case? That case is based on a brice. The case is when a man creates a bor with permission. That's the tricky, that's the catch over here. A normal bor in the Torah, when it's made, it's made where it's not supposed to be made. A man digs into Rishus HaRab. He starts off bad. He starts off without permission. But here, Rav Ada Bar Ahava found a bor which was created with permission. Now, how is that possible? And yet it damages. The case is, in the winter time in Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara says that Yeshua, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there were certain conditions. In order that people should be able to live normal lives, they made certain conditions. One of those conditions is that during the winter, a man can open up his pipes and let the water go out in the street. Even though there are people passing by, he could put stuff to his zevel. He could put things, even though people could slip on them. So that's called, he made a bor, because it damages like a bor, but he's allowed to do it. There's halacha that you're allowed to do it. That's the Gemara later on. That was part of the, everybody agreed, that was one of the tenoyim that Yeshua, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Now, so l'chayra, the Gemara says you have to pay for it. So the Gemara says, why should you have to pay? L'chayra, it's not like bor. It's not like you can't learn it out from bor in the Torah, because this is better than bor in the Torah. Here he had permission to create the obstacle. So the Gemara says, oh, you know why you have to pay? Because from bor and shor. Shor also you have permission to take the animal into the Rishus HaRabim, and yet if it damages, you have to pay. So the same thing, the man, you're allowed to open up the pipes, or you're allowed to take the zevel in the Rishus HaRabim, but it's like bor and shor. It's not completely like shor either, because shor goes and damages, and this just sits there. So for that, we compare it to bor. So that's a simple tzad hashov. Now, there's a very beautiful machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen, in Shulchan Shemishpat, Simen Tof Yud Dal. How far did the takona, this takona of Yeshua, that how far did the takona go? The Levush says like this. The takana was only that you're allowed to put the things, you're allowed to do it in the winter. In the summer, you're not even allowed to do it at all. So in the summer, if a man lets his water out, it's mamish a bor. Because as soon as he lets it out, he's making a bor, mamish, so he's not allowed. But we're talking about in the winter time. In the winter time, there was a takana that he's allowed to let the stuff go into the street. But there's a condition that you have to watch it. You have to put up signs. You have to stand there. You have to make announcements. Listen, everybody should know that I'm using my front of in the this street. So and so is putting out his stuff. The Levush says there's a chiv shmirah.
Shmirah?
What I just said. Well, shmira means, and it doesn't, Hachari says shmira. I just gave examples. How do you watch? How do you tell people? By telling them to watch out, by putting signs, by standing there paying somebody. The sma, which is on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the main common, same first commentary around the Shulchan Aruch, the sma argues on the Levush. Sma. Samach Mem Ayin. Say from Iris Enayim, but the abbreviation is Sma. The Sma, which is one of the main poskim in Choshen Mishpat, says, he argues, he's the one that brings down the other sheep. And he says like this, he says, when your Yeshua made a takona, that you're allowed to create the mazik, you're allowed to make, you're allowed to put the stuff out, you don't even have to stand and watch it. You did have to watch. So we have a simple, beautiful portion halacha lemaisa. When it says Nagamura, and it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed b'mois hakshomim, do you have to watch it or not? Paying, the Gemara says you have to pay. Why do you have to pay? Our Gemara says if damages happen, because it's tzara shavah sheben, it's a bore, which is like a shore, it's a tzara shavi, you gotta pay if somebody slips and hurts themselves. But the machlokes is, was there a chiyuv to watch it? What?
Why?
I mean, what's the logic of which she, the sma holds like this? Because, how is it possible? I mean, everybody's gonna be standing out, they gotta go to work, how can you be watching 24 hours a day something that you put out in the street? And if Yeshua made such a takana, it's logical that that also went into the takana. To make sure you shouldn't have to pay. Makes sense. The less chance of damaging. Well, he says it, you don't have to, because in other words, he says the man doesn't have to watch, he has to know that he's going to have to pay. I mean, if you want, if he has time, he'd be smart.
It's
not obvious, okay? So he said, you know, what do you mean? Right, but that's his chiddush, that he's not mechuyev. He didn't do anything wrong by not watching. He can take the chance. There's no chiddush to stand up. But kitzur, we have machlokes lemaisa. Do you have to watch enough? I saw one of the achronim. I mean, the sefer we have here, from Simeir, has a very interesting lechora. You should ask me. According to the sma, according to Levush, the Gemara is very gishmak. Why? Because according to the Levush, I'm just showing you there's two ways to learn in our Gemara. According to the Levush, let's go through the Gemara and it works out beautifully. Why? Because according to the Levush, the Gemara says that what's the case of Ravada Bar Ahava? What's this new type of mazik? A mazik which you have permission to put it in the street. According to the Levush, you have to watch it. Now the question is, why do you have to pay? So it's not completely like bor, because at least you had permission to put it out. So the Gemara brings in shor. Because by shore, you also have permission to take it into the street, but you have to pay for the damages. Now, according to Levush, it's very close to shore, right? In both cases, you are allowed to bring it into the street, but just shore you had to watch, shore you have to make sure, and if it damages, you have to pay. According to Levush, everything works out beautifully. It's similar to shore, because just like shore you have to watch, and this also, you have to watch the water. If something happens, you didn't watch it. If you didn't watch, then you have to pay. It's not completely like shore, because it doesn't move. That's why you have to have bor also. So between shore and bor, you come out with a beautiful tzad hashoveh, and that's why you have to pay. According to Levush, he put the stuff out, he was supposed to watch it, he didn't watch it, so you have to pay. But according to the sma, according to the way the sma learns the halacha about these waters that you don't have to watch, the halacha is you're allowed to put it in the street. You don't have to do anything. You can go to sleep. You don't have to put up any signs. So how could the Gemara say that you still have to pay if somebody trips on it? You still have to pay because it's a tzara shavu shebahen, which we're learning out. This is the case. According to the sma, the case of the Gemara is, he put the stuff out, he didn't watch it, which he didn't have to, and the Gemara says you got to pay for it. Why? Because of a tzara shavu shebahen. Because we compare these waters to shore and bor. So according to the sma, it's a tremendous kasha. First of all, he didn't even have to watch it. So in logic, the first kasha is, why should he have to pay? Something you don't have to watch. Remember, we always said that one of the conditions for making you pay is shmiras and alacha, because you were supposed to watch it. But if here the takana, if here the law is you don't have to watch it, so it's like a man has a cow on his own property. He doesn't have to watch it. There's a gate. Within his own gate, he doesn't have to watch it. If somebody comes in and damages, he's putter. He didn't have to watch it, because it was in his own property. He could let it loose. So the same thing, if the halach is you don't have to watch this stuff that you put out in this winter time, so first kash is logically, why should he have to pay? And second of all, how could the Gemara make it tzad ha-shoveh, compare it to shor? Sure, you know why you have to pay? Because you should have watched it.
What doesn't you have to watch it? But both of them agree on Yechayev, right?
That's the Shaila, Mamanashah.
Both of them agree on Yechayev. So what do you mean? What's the difference between the two sheets? Why do you feel the bush have to watch? You have to watch it.
Sure, you have to watch it. No, according to the bush, it's Mamash and Mazik. Yeah, it's Mamash and Mazik.
What's the difference? What's the difference? Both of them have to pay.
No. According to this, the Lavush, it's very geschmack, because it's like sure, just like you take a sure.
What's stam? What do you mean you have to watch it?
It's a mazik. You
create. Why don't they have to watch it?
So he says you don't
watch the Yechayev, right?
Yeah, like every other mazik.
You don't watch it, but it's my Yechayev also.
No, but the sma is the problem. If you don't have to watch it, so then how could it be a key of payment? That's the kash. It's only kash on the sma. According to Lavush, it goes like every other arbovus nezikin. Shmiras on alecha. You should have watched it. You didn't watch it, you paid. But over here, it's coming out a tricky thing. It comes out that we're saying that takana is that you don't even have to watch it. So first of all, logically, something you don't have to watch, so it comes out you never pay sheya. It comes out you never did any carelessness because you didn't have to watch it. Second of all, how could the...
You watch it, but you know that it's going to die.
Yeah, but that in logic, if you might say you don't have to sheya. But, so listen to the second kasha. The second kasha, the Gemara compares it to shor. Just like by shor, you have rishus to take it out, and still you have to pay. So the same thing here. According to the smell, what's the comparison to shor? Sure, you have permission to take, to walk with it. But as soon as you see it going to something, to go to the gore, you're supposed to hold it by the reins. You're supposed to watch. You're supposed to train it. Chi of shor, there's a shmir, even if in rishus harabim. You're not just allowed, once it's in rishus harabim, you have to be with it. You have to walk with it. And if you don't take care of it, avada, that's why you have
Maybe
to pay.
Maybe because the smai holds that it's bar.
The Gemara says it's sure. You can't say the Gemara says that it's bar and sure. How can you say? The Gemara says.
I have it.
But that's what he's asking. So the question: how could the Gemara compare it to make it chayyeh because of its tzad ha-shoveh? That this waters and this zevel that you put in the rishus harabim, it's like you're letting you compare it to bar and sure. It's not completely like bar because you had permission to make it. It's not like shor, because shor you have to watch. This you don't have to watch. So I'm showing you like the sma, which holds halacha lemaisa. You don't have to watch this. So if you don't have to watch it, how could the Gemara create the same chi of money, the money payments, to be like shor? Shor is a regular mazik, which when you take it into the rishus harabim, you have responsibility to see to it that it shouldn't gore. But here, you have no responsibility. You know the stuff's there, and you're allowed to go sleeping. Like the sma, it's like a contradiction. No responsibility, no. You don't have to watch it, so why pay for it?
Maybe the smile doesn't hold the avachi of shmir, maybe he only holds the avachi of mama.
But that's the question. How could it be one without the other? If you see shor, by shor, there's both. You have normal mazik, shmir, mamon,
this is not mazik. It's not mazik.
Wait. You hear the kasha? The kasha, if you're letting him free from watching, so where does this give come? You'll tell me he has to pay. Stam the takonis chachom. Some, you could say the Chachamim gave him a knas. But here, you might want to say, that also went into the Takana. The Takana of Yeshua was to pay, even though really you don't have to pay. Really, you shouldn't have to pay, but Yeshua said, in order that people shouldn't get angry at each other, pay up anyway in case the damage happens. You can't answer that it's a new Takana. You hear, I'm laking to a knach. You might want to answer and say the reason you pay is because, even though really he really should be free, because that was part of the takana also. That also went into the takana. You can't say that. No, but you might want to answer, but it's a takana to be chayiv anyway. You can't say that. Yeah, you might want to answer. You might want to give an answer that the reason why you have to pay, even according to the sma, you had no responsibility to watch this, from damaging is because Nachum said for peace-wise, you people won't be paying, everybody will get upset at each other. You can't answer that. Because the Gemara says, why do you have to pay? Because a chayiv min haTorah you have to pay. Because we compare this to the Tzad HaShoveh of Gor and Shor. So you see, it's not just a new takona stamp to keep the peace. But that's why the Gemara says you have to pay. The Gemara says that this is, goes into the Tzad HaShoveh from the Arbavus Nezikin. So the question is, according to the Sma, how could the Gemara include this into the Tzad HaShoveh of the Arbavus Nezikin? Bor and Shor are both Mazikim you have to watch. All the Arbavus Nezikin you have to watch. And here we're saying that, that in Eretz Yisrael in the winter time you don't have to watch. You don't have to watch it. You put it out and you don't have to watch it. How could the Gemara say you have to pay anyway? How could, in logic, why should you have to? And the Gemara, how could you compare to those mazikim? What's every Tzad HaShoveh? We compare this case to the one to the Tzad to the others. If, according to the Sma, again, the Kasha is a push of the Kasha.
You still want your Chayef to pay, right?
That's the Kasha. Why? Why should you be Chayef to pay? If the Sma holds that the Takona went in, the Takona was that this is this type, you don't have to worry about it. So if a man doesn't have to worry about it, why make him responsible? I said that. You can't say that because the Gemara says it's not a takana. The Gemara says it's a Tzad HaShoveh. I just got finished that step. I said you can't say. You might want to say your step, what you just said now. But if you learn, that's my shurim. I try to help you go deeper. What, look at what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara says case halacha svar. The Gemara says the case is he put the stuff out, and according to the Sma, the laws, you don't have to watch it. The halacha is you have to pay. Why, the Gemara says? Why do you have Tzad HaShoveh? So don't tell me takana. Don't take it personal, but I want you to see. I just finished that step. So the Gemara says there's a logic, you have to pay for it. The question is, again, according to the Sma, where's the logic? The Gemara says the logic, but we don't understand that. If the takana went so far that you don't have to watch it. So where do we find the mazik? You don't have to watch and you still have to pay. So on that, you have to say it. You have to say alumdus shteretz. Really, when a person, in other words, there were two steps to the takon. According to the Sma, there were two steps to the takon. The first step of the takona in Eretz Yisrael was that in the winter time, you're allowed to bring the stuff out. You're allowed to put it in there. That's the first step of the takana. Without that, you'd not be allowed to let it out. You're making a bor. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to throw things in the street. So the first step of the takana was that you're allowed to put the stuff out. At that point, logically, you'd have to watch it, right? If that would only be the only takana, that would be all the takana Rabbi Yeshua said. You'd certainly have to watch it. No, then it would be a regular Tzad HaShoveh. You'd learn out from Shor and Bor that you have to watch it and you have to pay. Right? If that would be, then it would be just like the Levush.
Why?
That if all the takana was, you're allowed to put the stuff out. Now, we'd say ourselves, without any new takanas, do you have to watch it once it's there? You'd say yes. Why? Because that would be that you'd say, sure, you're also allowed to put out. And you're sure you have to watch.
To be compared to the first place.
I know. So that shmir would also come from the Tzad HaShoveh. The Tzad HaShoveh is that it's dark and lahazik.
In order to first make the thing, you have to have shmir and lahazik.
So that's, no, the Tzad HaShoveh would give us the shmir. I heard you, Taina, but listen, I think what I'm saying is that itself, you created a mazik. You put water out, you put zevel in the street. Even though Yeshua made a takana, you're allowed to do it. But you're allowed to do it, but that doesn't mean I don't have to watch it. You would normally, you'd have to watch it, and you would have to pay. And according to Levush, that's exactly what happened. According to Levush, there was just one takana. You're allowed to put the stuff out. But naturally, you have to watch it. Why do you have to watch it? Because it's just like Shor and Bor, and that's why you have to pay. But here, the Sma, what the Sma does is, the Sma says, this is the lumbus of the Sma. The Chachamim came along, and the Chachamim said like this. The Chefza, as far as the object is concerned, the object technically needs Shmira. The big lumbus here. The object needs Shmira, right? You put water out, you put something slippery in the street, so technically this object is screaming, watch me, protect me, so I shouldn't hurt anybody. The Chachomim put another step of the takana, and they said like this, the object itself, avada, needs shmir, screaming for shmir. But you, the gadra, you're busy working, you're busy going, you're learning, you have so many things to do. So what we're telling you is like this: we'll be meichel on you, the gadra. In other words, on you, if you're willing to take responsibility on all payments, we'll let you off. You, the person who has the responsibility to watch the object, will lay, okay, so go home, forget about it. But you got to remember that since the chafetz itself is such a chafetz that technically would require watching, so that's how we're going to make you pay if something happens. In other words, we're going to let you, when you go home at night to sleep and you don't want to stand there, it's like you're being meichel, we're being meichel yachid shmira. But the object itself is a dangerous thing. So remember, we're letting you go to sleep at night. If you're asking us, what should you do? Do you have to stand there? No, go to sleep. But remember, we're telling you that since the chafetz itself carries with it protection just as much as shor and bor, so since the chafetz is a mazik which technically should have shmira, so when it comes to time of payment, you can't tell us, well, you rabbis let me go to sleep, so therefore it's not like shor and bor. We're not going to accept that anymore. Because we're telling you, the object itself is a mazik just as much like shor and bor. And technically, if we wouldn't have given you that extra permission to go away, you'd have to stand there and watch it. So when the Chachamim led him off of the Shmira, that doesn't make it less of a mazik. I'm trying to show you, look from the payment that we make him pay for damages if somebody slips on this stuff, is because we make him pay because he brought the mazik into the street. He took it out. And even though the Chachamim allowed him a special permission to go away, what they told him, when you're going to sleep and you're going to let this in the street, you should know that we're not saying it's not a mazik. If an object, a chafetz, is not a chafetz of hezik, for instance, a hole in my basement, somebody happens to be snooping around in my house and hurts himself in a hole in my basement, that's not a mazik. Because since people are not exposed to it, people are not supposed to have no permission to go in my basement, so we don't look at the hole as a mazik. The hole is not a mazik. It's because it can't get near, it's not supposed to get near people. But when this person puts out the stuff in the Rishus Sarabim, just because we tell him you can go home and sleep, that doesn't mean that it's like in somebody's basement. The chafetz, the actual object, is a damaging.
How can they make such a kind of thing?
The Chachamim have the right to free him from the Kishmir. What?
They
only said it because that in Takana, very Yisrael, during the winter time, they had to make such a Takana. If the Chachamim would want to take oath by Bor and tell a normal Bor, why should the Chachamim want to do it? A man makes a hole in Rishus Rav, he deserves to be punished. But over here, we're for the purpose of Eretz Yisrael. And you can't, it's hard to have people standing there watching. So the Chachamim said, listen, it's a chafetz, this is the lumdus I'm trying to show you, is that, Lamash, I'll give you an example. Is there a difference between eating a kosher piece of meat or a sick person who's a cholil of pikuach nefesh taking treif meat? Is there, are the two pieces of meat, but you'd say, first, they're both the same. Both cases you're allowed to eat. What's the difference if a healthy person eats kosher or a person who's very sick and to keep his life, he's allowed to eat chazer? So you're going to say that the chazer is now like the kosher meat? You don't say that. The chazer is chazer. But because of his emergency, the gavra, he's allowed to eat it. But the food doesn't turn into kosher food. It's still trefa food. But a piece of kosher, the object is kosher. The same thing over here. What the kasha we thought, when we asked the kasha on the sma is, we thought that since the chachomim said, you're allowed to put the stuff in the street, and you don't have to watch it, so it's like digging a hole in your basement. We asked the kasha, it's not a mazik anymore. If the chachomim said, you don't have to watch something, so it's not like shor and bor, which are regular mazikim, which could damage. So we're answering simply that when the chachomim said that you can't, that you don't have to watch it, it's like they're saying it's like a trefa piece of meat, but because a man is so sick, under emergency he could eat it anyway. But the meat is still a trefa meat, and therefore you can't just do whatever you want with it. So that's why you have to pay, even according to the Sma.
Do the Sma hold the same thing by Shar?
Because Be'etzim, what do you mean? The Sma.
Would you hold that by Shar also, even though you don't watch, I mean, with the same...
What? The Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael they made a special takana. Now what do you want? You want to put that takana by shore? What do you want to do with it? What do you mean to ask?
That's like the Gemara makes a
tashah. What? What? Give me a case.
The shor.
Exactly.
We're going to say that you don't have to watch it. But
what? You want to say you don't have to watch shor? I mean, take out a chumash. The chumash says you have to watch shor. Why should you want to change what it says in chumash? Chumash says that a shor v'lo yishmerenu, you have to watch. Right? Now, what's in your mind to compare this to Eretz Yisrael in the wintertime? In Eretz Yisrael, to take out special water is a zevel. A shor, a normal shor, of course you have to watch. I'm talking to you a little strongly because I want you to. Yeah, what your kasha? I don't hear clearly why you had to have a mina by shore.
How do we answer the shore? We have two questions on the smart. Right? We have two questions.
So this answers both.
No,
because it's compared to shore because the object is like a shore. The object itself requires as much shmira as a shore, even though you had a right to be there. The object is screaming. The object is needs shmira.
So why should they excuse him from making shmir on this and have to make shmir on that?
That was special takon in Eretz Yisrael. You're asking, that's almost like Avrami's asking. You're asking, that they decided one of the takonas that this is a type of avor where man's not doing it on spite. Man has a whole zevel in those days. They didn't have all these kinds of, they didn't have garbage disposals. They didn't have sewers there. So a man was piling up. So they, in order for people not to stuff up their houses, they said you can get it out. So then they made a takana. What do you want to say? Take Arbavos Nezikin and say, don't watch Arbavos Nezikin? I mean, the question is something that you have to be careful. That doesn't even begin. This whole Gemara was a special type of a mazik where the Chachamim gave you permission to put it out. Okay. So this is answers the Sma. You have here the machlokes between the Levush and the Sma. Halacha lemaisa. On this case, do you have to watch this thing that you put out in the winter, or you don't have to watch it? But according to both of them, the Maaser, the Gemara says you have to pay because it's a tzad hashoveh that even though you had permission to make the bor, still you had taka permission to make it, but if it damages, you have to pay. Okay, now let's go to Tosfos.
Who said this?
Yeah, he himself answered it. Zichron Tzvi Meir. Yeah. Okay. Now, Tosfos comes along and asks the kasha. Tosfos says the kasha simply is, why does the Gemara have to look to shore a new part of the shear?
What's Tosfos on the board?
My board. Okay, it's a new part. So now Tosfos asks the kasha here. Tosfos asks, he says, and he buys with a tzorachin. I mean, I'm sorry. So Tosfos says like this. Tosfos answers. But what's Tosfos' kasha? Tosfos gives a teretz. We have to make the fit in the kasha. Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara have to look for sure to prove to us that even when you have permission to do something, you still have to pay? Tosfos was bothering Tosfos. Even by bor, we find such a bor that you had permission to make it, and still you have to pay. Where is that a case of bor, where you had permission to make it, and still if somebody falls in, you have to pay? So Tosfos says, he made it in his own property, and then he was mafkir the property. A man had a big piece of land bordering the street. And 2 feet away from in his land, 2 feet away from the street on his land, he dig a big hole. He's allowed to do that. It's his property. Then he donates the property to the street, to the governor. They make a whole party. He gave 2 more feet away. But now there's a big hole there. So the din is, the Gemara later on in the fifth parak says, the third parak says, he's chayav to pay. So l'chora, he had permission to make it. And still, later on, if somebody falls in, he has to pay.
If you're putting it that way, it's like almost if the city accepted responsibility for whatever happened to it.
But the problem is that the city didn't say anything. He gave it away. He was mafkir. Maybe it was a bad marshal. He put up a sign, hefkir. This now belongs to the Rishus HaRab. Somebody falls in, he has to pay. So L'chayru Taisus has a kasha. So why couldn't the Gemara prove? What do we have to go look from shore? What do we have to bring in shore to the Tzad HaShava? If we want to find a place to compare Haitzoa Zevel, place can be Veseyam, Ar Gemara, compare it to that case. Just like a man has permission to put the water out in the winter, he should have to pay, just like he has permission to make a hole in his property and give it to the Rishus HaRab. So Taisvis answers his kasha with a simple teres. Taisvis is a big lump. Because Taisvis says you can't bring any proof from there. Because at the minute when he gives away the property to the public, it's like he's creating a new bor. And he has no permission to give away the property. Because as soon as he gives away the property, people are going to start walking and going to fall in. So that's not rishus. He has no rishus to give away the property, because that hefker, when he makes it hefker, that's shalei rishus. He has no right to be mafker a whole. He can only give, you know, solid, flat property away. But if you have a hole and you don't tell anybody about it and you give it away, you are putting a mazik in, just like digging a hole in the rishus harab. That's Taisus teretz. Therefore, the Gemara had a look for other, had to come on to shore. Because from this bar, it's no proof, because this bar is like digging a hole. This is much worse than the Chachamim gave you permission to put out the stuff in the wintertime. There you have permission. But by this bar, when he has no permission to make it hefty. This is what Taisvis says. Now the Rebbe Akiva Eiger comes along, and the Rebbe Akiva Eiger asks the kasha. He says like this, this little star there, the little dot, the circle, he says that on what was Taisus kasha? Taisus kasha, he asked on Taisus kasha, not on the teretz. He's asking on the kasha. He says, this kasha, l'chara, according to Taisus in Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, says that if a man is mafker his property, if he's mafker, he says, if he's mafker his whole property, he's taka potter. If he's mafkir the property around the hole and the hole, he gives everything away. Taisvis argues, Taisvis says, in such a case, you're potter. Because it comes out he didn't do really, Taisvis says he didn't do anything wrong. When you made the bor, you were allowed to make it. And after you mafkir it, it's not yours anymore. You have no responsibility anymore. It's not yours. So Taisvis and Daf Chof Ches hold that you're potter on such a bor. You put there on such a board. So the Rebbe Akiva Eiger asked the kasha according. So what's pshat in Taisus? So how could Taisus ask this kasha over here? What's Taisus asking? Teretz, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger says Taisus was asking only from a case when he gave the land around the board. Avrami told me this in Machaven Tua during Seder. He gave the land around the boar, but the land, the boar itself, he kept for himself. So Taisus Kasha is only from such a case, again, where he gave the land around the property to the public, but the boar itself, the hole itself, the bottom of the boar, he's keeping for himself. And on that, even everybody's noida yachad. So that was Taisus Kasha. Taisus Kasha was. So learn out from there that even though originally he had permission to make it, still you're chayev. Okay? This is just, I'm showing you an important, just saying over two steps to Rebbe Akiva Eiger. The first step I just said over, and I'll repeat it b'kitzer. What Rebbe Akiva Eiger is doing is he's clarifying what was Taisus Kasha. How should you learn Taisus Kasha? That why don't you rely on learning it out from a bor that he made in his property, and he gave everything away. Hifka Rishusay Uboira. But Rebbe Akiva Eiger says, according to Taisus and Daf Chof Ches, if he gave everything away, he's potter. Because he carries no responsibility before he gave it away, and after he gave it away, it's not his anymore. So there's no reason for him to be chayiv. But Taisus he dug in his own property, and nobody had permission to go there anyway. So it wasn't a mazik. It wasn't a mazik before he gave it away. And it's not his mazik after he gave it away. So Bekitzer, Taisvis Kasha, according must be, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger says, is only in a case when he gave only the land away. But the land, the bor itself, the whole is his. If the bor is still his, and people have the right to walk by, so it's like sure already. I mean he owns a hole. And people are going to be falling into his hole. So he has to bring dirt and fill it in. So that's what Taisvis Kasha. One point. That was the first point of Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Now the second point of the Rebbe Akiva Eiger is, according to, if a man, what did we just finish saying? That if a man digs, get the case clear. It's a simple point if you follow it. We just now said over from Taisus and Daf Chof Ches Amid Beis, which the Kivega brought down, hinted on the side, that if a man digs a hole in his property, and then he gives everything away, he gives everything away to the public, and somebody falls in 2 days later, he's potter to pay. We just said that from Taisus. Back there, Rabbi Akiva, how could Taisus hold that way? Why should he be potter? Agimora says that Yechayev, even though you're allowed to put the water outside, you had permission to put the stuff outside, still Agimora says that you have to pay if somebody falls in.
What was that case of Gail?
That he dug a hole in his own property and he gave everything away. So he gave everything away. So the question is, why is it putter? It's a steer to Agamora.
He says it's putter again?
We just brought down, the Rikivega brought down from Taisus and Chomchev, that if you dig a hole in your property and you give everything away, the hole and the land around the hole, Taisus says that it's putter. The question is, it's against Agamora. Taisus is not going to say against Agamora. Agamora says that when you have permission, you had permission to put the stuff out, right? Still, if the stuff damages, you have to pay. So here, he had permission to dig the hole in his property. And then when he's mafkirit, so let's even assume he has permission to be mafkirit, right? So when he's mafkirit, so it's like he's putting the water outside in the street. When he gives his land away, when he gives his land away with the hole, it's like taking the water and mafkirit. Agamor is also talking about who is mafkirit zevel, right? He put the dafkirinu. He took the water, he took the zevel, he was mafkirit, and he stuck it on the Rishus HaRava. He had permission to do it. So if he had permission to do it and still he has to pay for it, so why does Taisus say that since the man had permission to dig the hole in his own property? He had permission to dig the hole in his property. And then when he gives it away to the Rishus HaRava, even if he has permission to give it away, why should he? He should still have to pay. Because we see from our Gemara that even if you have permission to put something out, you still have to pay. What?
In the end, we don't have Shor.
So what? So learn this out from Shor also, whatever that is. If a man takes a piece of property with a hole in it, which he had permission to make, because when he made the hole, he had permission, it was his property, and then he signs it over to the public, that should be just that's permission. He had permission to make the hole, and even if he had permission to go out, but if he had permission, you should still have to pay.
Say, because of Shmira. Since
the way. No, so like the Lavush. The Lavush, good.
So by the way, you have a Chi of Shmira on it, but here you have a Shmira.
Well, very good. Kemat. So the Kivegan himself is very good. Almost exactly. Kash is a stira from Taisvis to Agamora. Taisvis says that if you dig a hole, you have permission to dig a hole in your property. And then when you give it away to the public and they come along and they get hurt on it, Taisus says you're potter to pay. So why by us? You have permission to put the stuff out. You have permission to make a bore. So that's just like a permission to dig a bore on your property. So you could say it like this. In other words, you could say that there's a big lumda shechilit. When a person in our Gemara, he has permission, but at the time when he's making it, he's making a mazik. When he puts it out into the street with permission, he has permission. The takana was he has permission. But as far as the object, as soon as he puts it out, people are going to stumble on him. So when he's making it, he's making a mazik. When he's putting it out, he's creating a mazik. But over here, with me, Jenny, what's the matter? You in? But over here, when he makes a hole in his own property, it's like making a hole in the basement. He didn't create it. That's not considered. There's no label of damaging on it. Because when a man makes something in his own property, and nobody's supposed to be walking there anyway, he just made a hole. You don't look at it like a bad thing. When you make a hole in your own property, it's not bad. When you put out stuff in public property, it's a bad thing. But the Chachamim said, do it anyway. In other words, again, the Chefza, this is based on the other step of the Shir. When you put out stuff in the wintertime, you're creating a situation, a bad situation. You made it. You put it out. But Chacham gave you permission to do it. So you have permission, but the chayfiz is a chayfiz that's a mazik.
You bargained with the guy made just like his master within his property?
First, he made it in his property.
Yeah.
So when he made it in his property, that's not called a bar. That's not called a bad thing. What you do in your own property and nobody can get hurt is not considered a chevtze. Remember again, it's like kosher meat. That's the difference. A bar in your property is like a piece of kosher. But when you take something, when Chachom made a takana, you're allowed to throw stuff out in the winter, it's like they're saying you're allowed to eat treifus because we're so desperate. You're allowed to eat it, but it's still treifus. So that's the nafkamina. So if it's really treifus, but Chachom said you can take it out, but you got to pay because you should really watch it according to the Levush. And even according to the smile, you don't have to watch it. Doesn't mean that it's not really as bad as a regular mazik. That's why you have to pay. But Taisvis holds, when you create a hole in your property, you didn't do a bad thing at that point. So what if he didn't do anything bad at the time of the making, so Taisvis says, you can never be chayiv later on, even though you tell him it wasn't a nice thing for you to be mafker without notifying the public. But hefker is not creating a bar. Hefker is a word. Hefker. So Taisvis holds, that hefker is not considered making a bar. And since the bor itself was not even a mazik, it was like, in other words, it wasn't just brishus. It was totally, I can do whatever I want with my property. I can make mountains, I can make holes, I can have dogs running around, you can have dynamite mines all over the property. My property. Is that called a mazik? Nobody has permission to go in. That's my entertainment. So that's why Tyson says that's where we make himself answers. That's why there's a difference over here. I just want to.